Deborah Lamb, come and talk to us.
Well, I thank you very much for this opportunity. You're coming here to hear about Common Core, and really where it stems from is very timely. As some of you may or may not know, what happened recently in the last 3 years is something called a race to the top. And it came from stimulus money. It was to encourage states to be competitive and raise standards and, you know, improve education. And so they were enticed to come aboard, fill out an application, commit to these common standards, and use the money to improve the system. Well, it ended up being a bait and switch because they got 46 states to sign up. About 11 of them got money. And if you didn't apply for it, your Title I monies were threatened. And if you know what Title I monies, that's for the underprivileged, and a lot of our schools depend on that funding. So there were some threats, some enticements. And in the end, Montana was one of the 46 states that did adopt these standards, committed to them, joined a consortium. There are a couple of consortia that our states are getting involved with, but basically they work together and they're doing the same thing. They just have a different name. And we happen to be in one that's called the Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium. And if we decided we wanted to get out of this, the only way to do that is for our state, the same people that signed the agreement, would be for them to apply to the Smarter Balanced Consortium, to ask for permission by providing a policy argument or a statutory argument of why you want out. They have to approve it, and then if they do approve it, it goes to the federal government, and they have to approve it. So when you hear that, oh, well, the states adopted it, we, you know, everybody was involved and wanted it, that is a misrepresentation. That's just the last piece in a very long story and a very deep root of what's been happening in America. This is nothing short of a global takeover of the United States of America. And they're doing it through our education. It's one of the last steps. All the three E's are in place. If any of you are familiar with Agenda 21 that George H.W. Bush signed in 1992, you'll know and remember that that was one of the pieces that was necessary to effectuate the one world government. And the three E's are environment, energy, and education. And we've already seen what they've done with energy and the environment, and this is the last piece. So if you look back, this has actually been going on for over 100 years. And there are some key players and some key people that have been involved from the early time. One of the earliest groups was the Carnegie Foundation. And if you start researching them, you will see all of the things they've been involved with education, with introducing and converting our system from a capitalistic, individualism, nationalistic society to one of communalism, communism, and a socialist way of life. Everything they've touched, everything they've been involved in, has moved that ball forward. I'm not going to go into a lot of the details and all the dates. I really encourage you to do that research. I know Dick had some wonderful quotes up here that it explains exactly what their purpose is and what their agenda has been. It has been under our noses. And it's only by lack of reading, lack of putting the pieces together, lack of talking to one another and sharing what you know and your knowledge, that we are now where we are. We cannot rely on someone else to do the job. We can't rely on someone else to say, well, our country's always existed, it always will. We are at that goal line, and this is the last pushover, and we have got to stand that line of defense, and we've got to move that ball backwards. And when Dick said this is a long process, he's right. It took 100 years to get here. It's not going to change overnight, but we can do it. Dick already mentioned this book, Brave New Schools, and it's really a fabulously documented book. This was a mother who had her first son went through public school, second son, third son. She realized something's changed. Something is very different, very wrong. So she started doing the research and ended up with this book. The documentation and footnotes are fantastic. You can track through all the documents where she gets her information. And I suspected that she probably knew another lady named Charlotte Iserbay. And this book, you can actually get this online. If you want to see me afterwards, you can write down her name. This is a very lengthy, it's almost 800 pages, but this woman worked in the Reagan administration. And so many of us, you know, tout Reagan and how great and wonderful. Well, he actually got us into a Soviet American education. Something happened. Education agreement, which still stands today. And she happened to be there during that time and started investigating, found herself in some interesting situations where she was able to get her hands on actual documents and agreements for this one world government and how they would take this over through education. So she blew the whistle, and of course she didn't last long after that, but she continued to blow the whistle and compiled this book that was some of the basis for what this other lady wrote. So I would encourage you to look at these two books. There's a lot of documentation. We have a website, MontanansAgainstCommonCore.com, and we're in the process of building that content. And what we're trying to do is develop a section there that will talk about some of these things, and it's a section called In Their Own Words. Because you don't have to make things up. You don't have to have a conspiracy theory. It is in fact a conspiracy. It is real. So we're going to try and get as much of that up so you can go to one site rather than having to continually go from one place to the next. It'll take a little time, but we'll get there. So I would encourage you to go to those two resources and just start digging in and look at the history. I mentioned the Carnegie Foundation. You'll see, though, they're still playing a role today. In 1933, we got the first Humanist Manifesto, and one of the co-founders of that was John Dewey. And as most of you probably know, he's sort of the father of a socialist education system. You know, eliminate the family and eliminate God, and we'll control the hearts and minds of the kids. Those thoughts and those ideals have been an ongoing implementation through various programs, various acts, and through the help of our own government and other foundations. So that's another person to track and see the things that he was involved in. And then in 1946, we signed on to UNESCO, the education and cultural group of the UN, and adopted those principles that we would have this one world government and we would all be global citizens. That developed, and you'll see more and more programs implemented through that. In 1984, Reagan actually saw that that was not a good thing. So he took us out of UNESCO, but like I said before, we did end up with that Russian-American Education Act. So he kind of took us out of one thing and put us into another bad thing. We got out of it in 84, but then George Bush put us back in 2004. And in between there, we had Clinton with his Goals 2000 program, which was a little bit of an adaptation of what preceded that from back in the 70s. It was then called America 2000, and Clinton picked it up and introduced it and pushed it on us as Goals 2000. Some other programs were the School to Work. And that all sounds good. They are very good at creating names that make you feel like that's a positive change. Well, sure, we want kids to be able to graduate and go to work. But it is an attempt to move people into a global system and to control human capital as just another resource to be contended with and controlled. So all of these programs have made one step closer to the end game. George Bush introduced No Child Left Behind, same thing. It's more about control, more about the dollars, and collecting information. They introduced the testing. Most of you, if you're associated with schools at all, you would know the NAEP testing that came out of the No Child Left Behind and how we track average yearly progress. Have any of you asked to see those tests and what questions are on them? I talked to a couple people that actually asked, and they said that you cannot look at the tests. And I suspect the reason is that 60% of the testing items are about attitudes, values, and behavior. It has nothing to do with content or knowledge. And to find out how we got there, along with all of this movement through the years, same time frame back in the 40s, we ended up with these changes in the system and following B.F. Skinner, who's a behavioral modification individual, psychologist, and training teachers how to modify behavior towards the type of person that they want your child to be. Not to be the person they were created to be, or to express individualism, or to just be a kid and to learn. The goals are very different. They have to have children that are compliant. And so you can look through time and look at various aspects of it. You can look at the money aspects. You can look at the behavioral modification, the move away from the family and away from God in our homes, and our ability to worship. And one of their stated goals was we have to get these kids as young as we can, because we don't want the parents to influence them any longer than we have to. So have any of you noticed how there's a big push for this pre-K and preschool? And now Obama has in his budget this year, he wants billions so that we can get all kids into preschool? Well, there's a purpose behind that. I don't know if any of you remember in 1992, a guy named Mark Tucker, he wrote the Dear Hillary letter, and in it he talks about how fabulous this is all going to be, and we'll manage our human capital, and we'll do it from cradle to grave, and we'll have all these data systems, and we'll just be able to manage everything that we need to and be part of this global system. And essentially that's where we are today, because one of the main things with this common core is the element of data mining and data collection. Right now, they're set to collect 400 data points. It includes not only names, Social Security, date of birth, blood type, parents' names, but religion, income, your attitudes about guns, just a number of things that we would determine to be pretty invasive. The databases are all going to be tied together. That will be the healthcare database that was established in the TARP bill. They granted the right to create that to GE, and so they've been working on it, and further implementation plans are in the healthcare plan. And I've read all those multi-thousand pages of documents when they first came out and before adoption and after, and I didn't want to listen to Nancy Pelosi and wait until it was passed. I wanted to see what was in it and realized that that was just a framework All it was a vehicle to implement all these multi-thousands of other laws and rules, which they have done with education bills as well as all this data collection. And so we've ended up with another 20,000 pages of documents on that one. So they'll tie in the healthcare records, which will start at birth. They're tying in all the criminal records, any behavioral issues at school. So these kids that are kids and come with a little teeny one-inch gun that have been disciplined, now that's in their permanent record, and will probably decide that they're a potential threat. They are going to collect everything about every child, every bit of information you can imagine. And to achieve that, they have been funded very heavily by Bill Gates and his foundation. So when these standards came out, Bill Gates gave money to two groups that are Washington, D.C. based trade organizations, because the standards themselves were developed by three guys. One was an educator, but the other two were not. One was David Coleman, and that's a name you're going to hear quite a bit of. Another was William McCollum, and the other one's Jason Zimba. Coleman is a key player. Now, this group was funded by Bill Gates, and along with a couple other Joyce Foundation, is the typical progressive foundations that you hear of. And they said, okay, well, we've developed this, they called it a curriculum at that time. It was called Core Curriculum. They have since scrubbed that information. I printed a few documents when they were calling it that a long time ago. And they've changed it then to core standards and then common core standards. And then they said, well, wait a minute, we got to make it look like it came from the states. So they called it Common Core State Standards. And they called it an initiative so that you would think that it was initiated by the states. So Gates gave some money to a group called Achieve, which is another private group, nonprofit, that gave money to the National Governors Association and to the Chief Council State School Officers. Now, those groups, again, are not made up of people that come from the states and the governors from the states say, here's what we want to do. They're policy people in D.C. that decide what they want the governors to do. And they figure out a way to sell it. So that's how they sold this particular program. Now, the problem is, with all this data collection and Bill Gates involved and private corporations and the government, they've all come together to collect everything about our kids. The Microsoft people will benefit because they're supplying these computers that all the testing is going to be done on. So obviously those are going to have to change and be upgraded and updated, and as the assessments change, all that will continue to change, and that will be costly. So the computers, the software, so who will stand to benefit? Now, right now, it's being somewhat subsidized and brought in at a lower cost, but that will not last, and Gates has even said that. In addition, with all of these changes, it's been called a transformation in education. Everything is changing, the way students will learn, the way teachers will teach, and the way we measure it. And the computers themselves, if you go to the government website and look up promoting grit, tenacity, and perseverance, you will find what the government has done so far in testing with these various monitoring devices, pressure-sensitive chairs, wristbands to check pulse and heart rate as they're taking tests. Iris scans, you know how our computers, I put tape over my cameras on my computers. But the little cameras, I mean, they get iris scans and they look at facial expressions and they'll be able to monitor the stress level you're under as you're taking the test. if a question is easy, how fast you're moving through it. And I was talking with some folks in Big Timber. We were having a parent meeting. Some parents were very concerned, and they wanted to know what they could do about it. So we scheduled the meeting. They decided to advertise it across the county, and the teachers union found out about it, and they sent their head Common Core trained teacher along with a cadre of 20 or 25 others and tried to hijack the meeting. But we got some very useful information out of them, because one of the things she said, I said, well, tell me about the test. Have you done it? How is that going to work? And what will be on that? And she said, well, we don't know because it's on a computer and every child gets a different question. And I'm thinking, okay, we're trying to see if we're raising our standards. We're trying to see how kids are. How are we measuring that when everybody gets something different? I mean, she couldn't answer that. And she explained that what happens, and it's called, it's intuitive. The computer's intuitive. They're anticipating, based on the way you answered, which branch to put you down next. And so if you answer it one way, you go down one path. If you answer it another way, you go down here. So everybody's going to be on a little bit different path with the end goal, remember, the behavior modification. They want to get you to where they want you to be. So you don't answer correctly, you're going to get another question till you answer it correctly or get to where they want with your behavior. So it's quite insidious. I've been told by our deputy superintendent at the Office of Public Instruction that we have finalized our computer database. We were able to set that up with stimulus money that we got in 2010 and 11. So that aspect is done. They'll continue to add data points to that. And one of the other things they're doing is, and I've witnessed this through discussions with other groups around the state, that parents are finding out that someone is coming into the schools that is not the superintendent, not the teacher, and everyone in the school system is not even aware of who exactly this person is. Now, obviously, someone there knows, but the group at large of the school staff is not sure who these people are. But the teacher leaves the room, that individual goes in, the door has been locked, and they've administered tests. And we have yet to find out exactly what they're doing. So if you hear of anything like that, let us know. One of the things with back to Bill Gates, he, in 2004, signed a cooperative agreement with UNESCO and hand-signed, initialed every page of that agreement. And in that, they wanted to establish the teaching content and the way to teach the teachers. Pardon me? Oh, I talked about that earlier. Okay. The educational arm of the UN. So we're still working with the UN. We're still implementing those global initiatives that they are seeking. And it was quite interesting. There's a November 2010 speech by Arne Duncan, who's our U.S. Department of Education head. And you can just look up Arne Duncan November 2010 speech, and it'll come up. But in it, he talks about how he's talking to UNESCO, how he was able to achieve this, and he said it's been a quiet revolution. And yes, it has, because they've had all these private partnerships working with our government behind the scenes. And in several of his speeches, they talk about the need to eliminate parental control and parental input so that when this whole behavioral modification thing is complete, the kids won't listen to the parents. Because for them, have all of you heard about critical thinking? Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? We want our kids to be able to think critically. Well, do you know what it means to them, the progressives, and to this one world government group of people? It means to question, but it means to question the authority. It means to question mommy and daddy. And if you don't, then you're not thinking critically. And one of our coalition partners, Melissa Friedman from Miles Cities, is here, and she's working with our parent groups. She said, I was taught that. So she was actually taught those very words, to not trust her mommy and daddy. Now, thankfully, she had good parents and she knew better, so she came out okay. But how many kids don't have the relationship with their parents that's strong enough? And did our Proverbs get up there? I thought that the Proverbs 22:5 was really appropriate, because it says, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not stray. So if you're training them up in a government school with an agenda to control your children and plug them into a slot, how are they being trained? If they're in a public school with that kind of training, you know where they're going to end up. If they're with you, you have a different shot at it. But if they're only with you for a couple of hours and they're at the school for 8, we know what's going to happen. And that's what's been happening. Our homes, our families have been eroded. Christianity is under attack. The family authority. So, I mean, it is bleak. But it's not new. It's not just Common Core. This is what's been going on for decades. So it's not going to be an easy task to turn this around. So I think one of our points on here is who benefits most. Well, obviously, one of the benefits is Bill Gates, Microsoft. The Achieve Inc. group also included Intel and IBM. So obviously all these computer groups are in joining forces. Have any of you seen the Exxon commercial for Common Core? Now, why would Exxon be promoting Common Core? What do they have to do with education? Well, two things. I guess if they think they go along with what the government wants, they'll get some oil leases. I doubt it. But the other is they are looking for the workers of the future that will plug in to the needs that they will have globally. And I was doing some other research and found that Chevron is partaking of that and a number of other groups. Lenovo Computers is a participant. So there are quite a few. As you start digging in, you could literally spend weeks on end doing nothing but research on this and plugging in all these different people. But it comes back down to a core group of global elites that are managing all of this. So what can we do about it? We're going to have to get active. I think there are a lot of documents available on the government website that will show you some of this data mining and data tracking stuff. I think that's an area where most people would be alarmed. It doesn't matter. It's not a partisan thing. I mean, it's an American and a privacy thing. It's one thing for us as adults to know that when we go to the grocery store and put in our little Safeway card or Albertsons card, that all of our purchases are tracked and how much we spent and what we bought. We kind of know that, but our children don't. Our children, I mean, we're giving up our children's privacy. So there are just a lot of dangers. They're going to be pegged from an early age with all of this information, and it will be interpreted by the people in control. As far as the curriculum, I've discovered that there are 16 career paths that have been identified. It's like healthcare is one, the energy is another one, agriculture is another one. And interestingly, if you look at the job range, there's always a low-level job and then there's a managerial job in each of these. So imagine back to this testing they're taking, and you're going down these paths and they're measuring your attitudes and your beliefs. You know, you see how this all plays and where you might end up. Well, they say by fourth grade, they're going to have a pretty good idea from the patterns, from the testing and your attitudes and values, behavior, where you're going to fit in. And by seventh grade, they intend to have you on the track where you will be for the rest of your education. It's also being developed for adult learning. And the same people that wrote the Common Core standards are involved in that as well. So everything is being aligned. David Coleman, as I mentioned earlier, is the same guy that left that group and went to the College Board that writes the SAT exam. The SAT has been rewritten or is about finished to be rewritten to align with Common Core. So it's going to have to align with these values and beliefs. So that's step one after the training in the K through 12. Now it's going into the colleges. So adult training is going to be aligned the same way. So it never ends. And it's called lifelong learning. And why do you think that is? It's so that they can continue to tell you, well, you need a little more. We'll just keep training you. We'll keep you in line. And the system, they're calling it right now P through 20W, which means preschool through age 20 into the workforce. And we in Montana have already connected that data into our Department of Labor and Department of Commerce. So it is linking already in our state, and now it's all going to be connected at the federal level as well. So everyone's going to have all of this information within the government and then these private partnerships. And I think as we've seen with the NSA stuff and all the IRS stuff, that they're using that data already on all of us. And they're going to be doing that to our kids. So those are some of the dangers. I could go on and on about just how insidious this thing is. And I just think we all know that a fourth grader or seventh grader has no idea what they want to be. They aren't even going to be given an opportunity to explore and learn and just be kids. So that to me is a really big part of it. So what are we going to do? I think there are several things. I founded a group in mid-April called Montanans Against Common Core because that's an immediate, actionable, single-issue focus. But it's step one. So we've got to activate parents, teachers, because the teachers here in Montana so far, they really don't know how this is going to impact them. And so it's really hard to educate them about, well, you aren't going to have control over your curriculum, or you're going to be evaluated solely on these tests because the way the feedback is in the computer, the teachers are going to be evaluated based on how these kids do. How well are you following the instructions that you've been given? So, yeah, I think now's a good time to... my technical expert here. This is one of the textbooks that was implemented in Utah. I should say, there out of the 46 states, 16 are now fighting back. And a couple of them have been able to stop it. Some states are still working on it. They have legislation that is trying to put a halt to it. Because the thing is, it's extremely costly. And I'll maybe go back to what happened in our legislature or in our system after that. But this is a lesson for a first grader.